Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 27th of November, 2017. We're in the book of 2 Chronicles. We will be beginning today with chapter 8, and I have several sets of glasses, because day-to-day with the physical changes in my body, that my vision changes. Some I need one set one day and another set the other day. Ah, yes. Put the other set on and it's crystal clear here. We're going to be talking right here in chapter 8 about Solomon's other projects. Now, we went over the construction of the temple last Friday, when I did chapters 5 through 7, and this is a continuation of his projects that he instituted during his reign. Let me take a little hit of coffee here. It's really early in the morning here because the building is quiet, everybody's quiet, and I'm recording this on Saturday, and it's just dead silent and so nice. And I'm an early riser anyway. I can't sleep a lot anymore. The sleep pattern has changed. I'm so energized now that I actually have a working heart that I just don't need that much sleep. So let's get into this. 7 years were spent building the temple, and 13 years were needed for Solomon's palace. That's why it's going to be 20 years. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Pardon me for a second. I need to get a morning cough out. Ah, that is a lot less painful to cough, and I don't cough very often anymore. I no longer have the lung congestion that was a symptom of my problem. Verse 1, and it came to pass at the end of 20 years, that's the 7 and the 13 that I mentioned, in which Solomon had built the house of Yahweh and his own house. Verse 2, that the cities that Huram had given to Shlomo, Shlomo built them or rebuilt them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. So he rebuilt these cities and populated them with Israelites. And verse 3, and Shlomo went to Hamath Zobah, and prevailed against it. It was 2388 prevailed, it would be, and was strong against it. Verse 4. And he built Tadmor in the wilderness, and all the storage cities which he built in Hamath. Okay, that was a district, evidently. Verse 5. Also, he built Beth Horon, the upper, and Beth Horon, the lower. Fortified cities with walls, gates, and bars. Here's verse 6, and you can reference 1 Kings 9, verse 19. And Baalath, and all the storage cities that Shlomo had, and all the chariot cities. That's where he had the troops that rode chariots, and the cities of the horsemen, that was the cavalry. And all that Shlomo desired and loved to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and throughout all the land of his dominion. Verse 7. All the people that were left of the Hitti, that's the Hittites, and the Emori, those are the Amorites, and the Perizzi, those are the Perizzites, and the Hiwi, those are the Hivites, and the Yebusi, those are the Jebusites, which were not of Israel, of their children, verse 8, of their, you're going to notice a change in the wording here. If you're reading your King James, that's going to be more accurate here. From their children who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel consumed not. In other words, they didn't kill them. These were the ones that were left over. Them did Shlomo raise a levy of forced labor until this day, when this book was written. Now, raise a levy of, that's number 5927. Okay, that's different than in the King James. And they have tribute, and it's not tribute, it's number 4522, it's forced labor. And that ties in with verse 9. But of the children of Israel did Shlomo make no slaves for his work. You didn't make an Israelite a slave. But they were men of war and chief officers and commanders of his chariots and cavalry. The aforementioned chariot cities and the cities of the horsemen. Okay. Verse 10. And these were the chief of King Shlomo's officers, 250 that bore rule over the people. In other words, they were sub-administrators. Verse 11. And Shlomo brought up the daughter of Paraol from the city of Dawid under the house that he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of Dawid, king of Israel, because it is holy or set apart whereunto the ark of Yahweh had come. So She might have been white, she might not have been white. We don't know, because the Mitzrayim were a white race at one time. So we don't know the situation with this particular wife. Verse 12, then Shlomo offered burnt offerings unto Yahweh on the altar of Yahweh, which he had built before the porch, that's at the temple. Verse 13, and there's a number of references here. Part A, you can reference Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. Part B, you can reference Numbers 28, 11 through 15. Part C, you can reference Exodus 23, 14 through 17, Exodus 34, verses 22 and 23, Numbers 28, verses 16 through 29, 39, and Deuteronomy 16, 16. Even after a certain rate, they have rate, it's matter or a certain matter means a certain way of doing things. Every day they have 3117 doubled here. That's Yom. Offering or sending up, raising up a burnt offering so the smoke ascends to the sky. That's what 5927 is here. According to the commandment of Moshe, on the Shabbats and on the new moons and on the appointed feasts, three times in the year, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of booths. Now that's tabernacles, okay? That's Sukkot. That means booths, the brush booths that you live in as a temporary shelter. Well, verse 14, and he appointed according to the order of Dawid, his father, the divisions of the priests. Now, there were different types of priests. They had different responsibilities. The divisions of the priests to their service, and the Leviim to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests as the duty of every day required. The gatekeepers also by their divisions, gate by gate. For so had Dawud, the man of Elohim, commanded. He kept his father's commandments. And this little bit of coffee is going to get cold unless I drink it. Ah, that's done. Now I have a second cup here. Got to have my coffee to get fired up in the morning. Verse 15, and they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and the Leviim concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. In other words, they went by chapter and verse what David had commanded about their work and taking care of the holy objects of the temple. Verse 16, now all the work of Shlomo was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of Yahweh, and until it was finished. So the house of Yahweh was completed. Okay. Verse 17, then went Shlomo to Etzion Geber and to Eloth at the seashore, in the land of Edom. And here's verse 18. And you can reference 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. And Huram sent him by the hands of his servants ships and servants that had knowledge of the sea. And they went with the servants of Shlomo to Ophir and took from there 450 talents of gold. That's the famous gold of Ophir. And brought them to King Shlomo. All right, now that ends chapter 8. I'm going to start on chapter 9. And you can see 1 Kings chapter 10 concerning chapter 9 here. And verses 1 through 9 of chapter 9, you can reference Matthew 12:42 and Luke 11:31. Verse 1 of chapter 9. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Shlomo, she came to test Shlomo with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great army and camels that bore spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Shlomo, she communed with him, and in other words, she spoke with him of all that was in her heart. Verse 2. And Shlomo told her of all matters, and there was nothing hid from Shlomo which he told her not. In other words, he had all the answers to her questions. Verse 3. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Shlomo and the house that he had built, verse 4. And the food of his table and the sitting of his servants and the seating of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his upper chamber by which he went up into the house of Yahweh. There was no more spirit in her. In other words, she was in awe. Everything was just perfect. The way of his servants that sat and the seating of his ministers. And the way they were dressed and all the palace formalities, okay? That's what she was looking at, was the formal way he did things. Verse 5. And she said to the king, "A true report which I heard in my own land of your acts or matters and of your wisdom." Verse 6. "Howbeit I believed not their words until I came and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. For you exceed the report that I heard." Verse 7. "Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, which stand continually before you to hear your wisdom." Verse 8. "Blessed be Yahweh, your Elohim, which delighted in you to set thee on his throne, to be king for Yahweh your Elohim. Because your Elohim loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore made he you king over them to do judgment and justice. Now, Sheba was from a different land where Yahweh was not the God, but she came and she had heard of Yahweh, and then she saw what went on there. Verse 9. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Rare spices from her land. Verse 10. And the servants also of Huram, and the servants of Shlomo, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. Those evidently algum trees were great big trees. Verse 11. And the king made of the algum trees pillars to the house of Yahweh and to the king's house, and harps and lyres for singers. That's L-Y-R-E-S. That's a musical instrument. And there were none such seen before in the land of Yahudah. Verse 12. And King Shlomo gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. And on that verse, you can reference 1 Kings 10, verse 13. Let's go to verse 13 here in this chapter. Now the weight of gold that came to Shlomo in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. 666 talents of gold. That's a weight. That's a lot of gold. Verse 14, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 15. Beside that which merchantmen, or another, men that go about, literally, an idiom for merchantmen, and traveling traders brought, and all the kings of Arab, that's Arabia, and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Shlomo. Okay, verse 15. And King Shlomo made 200 large shields of beaten gold. 600 shekels of beaten gold went to one large shield. All right, large shields is number 793, pardon me. Verse 16, and 300 shields, that's 4043, those are smaller shields, of beaten gold, 300 shekels of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. That means made of the wood from the forest of Lebanon. Well, those would all be confiscated when they went into Babylonian captivity. They would come in and just take all of that and destroy the temple. Verse 17, you can reference 1 Kings 10, verse 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. Everything was very fancy. Fancy, fancy, fancy. Verse 18. There were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold, which were held to the throne, and stays, it's 3027, actually it's hand, on each side of the sitting place, and two lions standing by the hands. In other words, armrests. Verse 19, and 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other upon the six steps, and it was not the like made in any kingdom. Fancy, fancy, fancy. And I need another hit of coffee here. Oh, that's good. Verse 20. And all the drinking vessels of King Shlomo were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Shlomo. Silver was not worth a lot. And when they talk of the house of the forest of Lebanon, that's Shlomo's personal house. Verse 21, you can reference 1 Kings 10, verse 22. Because the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram, every 3 years once came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. They had pet apes and peacocks. And the reason for the peacocks is peacocks are better than a watchdog. They, if there's somebody coming in that shouldn't come in, they will sound off. They are so loud. And they would let you know that people were coming. Verse 22, and King Shlomo became greater than all the kings of the land in riches and wisdom. At that point, later on, he became a complete fool. Verse 23, and all the kings of the land sought the presence of Shlomo to hear his wisdom that Elohim had put in his heart. Verse 24, and they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and clothing, equipment, that you can read that weapons, and spices, horses, and mules, a rate year by year. In other words, every year he would be getting something from all these people. Verse 25 of chapter 9. You can reference 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 6. And Shlomo had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and 12,000 horsemen, whom he placed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. He had a bunch of soldiers with him. And here's verse 26, and you can reference Genesis 15, verse 18. And 1 Kings 4, verse 21. And he did reign over all the kings from the river, that's Euphrates, even unto the land of the Philistim, the Philistines, and to the border of Mitzrayim. That's Egypt. Verse 27, and the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones. In other words, silver was devalued. It was just common. And cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the lowland in abundance. In other words, he brought in all these marvelous straight cedar trees, the giant cedars of Lebanon. verse 28. And you can reference Deuteronomy 17, verse 16. And they brought to Shlomo horses from Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, and from all lands. Okay, that's a synopsis in this particular book of Chronicles. Now here's verse 29. Now the rest of the acts of Shlomo, first and last, are they not written in the words of Natan the prophet and in the prophecy of Achia the Shiloni, that's Shilonite, and in the visions of Yeedo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat? Verse 30, and Shlomo reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. Now you're going to hear this a lot concerning kings and stuff when they die. Verse 31, and Shlomo slept with his fathers or his forefathers, and he was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Okay, well, that was Shlomo, and he had apostatized later and was messing around with all these foreign women. They don't say that here, but that's what went on. And Yahweh has said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from your household. Not during your lifetime, but when your son reigns, then that's when I will do it. So that is coming up in chapter 10. Oh, that's hot. Coffee. Here's chapter 10. And here's verse 1, and you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. Verse 2. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, different guy, he was son of Nebat, who had tried to be king, who was in Mitzrayim, where he had fled from the presence of Shlomo the king, heard it that Jeroboam returned from Mitzrayim. And here's verse 3, and you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 4. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, verse 4, your father made our yoke, that was the yoke of service, harsh. That was for building all these projects. He made them work. Okay. Now, therefore, ease somewhat from the harsh servitude of your father and his heavy yoke that he put on us, and we will serve you, an offer of servitude. Okay? Just, oh yeah, we don't have a problem serving the king as long as you treat us right and lighten up a little bit, please. It's basically what they were telling him. Just back off a little bit. and make it easier on us. We were almost worked to death. You know, just ease up a bit, please, and everything will be fine. Verse 5. Now, here's where things get really stupid with this king. And he said to them, return to me after 3 days. And the people departed or walked. Okay. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the elders that had stood before Shlomo his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give you to me to return an answer to these people? Now this is good advice. Verse 7. And they spoke to him, saying, if you are kind to these people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants all the days. That says forever here, but literally in the Hebrew it says all the days. Here we go. Verse 8. But he forsook the counsel which the elders gave him, and took counsel with the young men that grew up with him, that stood before him. These were young men, feisty, ready to fight, ready to dominate. They were much more aggressive. They didn't have the wisdom that those elders had. Verse 9, and he said to them, what advice give you that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that your father put on us. Verse 10. You can reference 1 Kings 12, verse 10. And the young men that grew up with him spoke unto him, saying, thus shall you answer the people that spoke to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but make you it somewhat lighter from upon us. Thus shall you say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And verse 11, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 11. For whereas my father loaded a heavy yoke upon you, I will add more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I with scorpions. Now, what's a scorpion? You can read it. First Kings 12, 11. A scorpion is a whip with multiple heads to it, and in the end of each line on that whip there's a sharp piece of rock or glass tied into it, so when you hit somebody with it, it rips the skin right off of them. Verse 12, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam, or Jeroboam came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king asked, saying, return to me on the third day. Verse 13, and the king answered them harshly. That's 7186. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the elders. Verse 14. And you can reference 1 Kings 12, 14. And answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, all right, now in the King James it says, my father made. All right, that is not in 2 Chronicles, but it's in 1 Kings. And in the King James Version, they have transferred that and put it in here where it does. It's not in here in the Hebrew. It's a transfer from 1 Kings. So there you go. There's another error in King James. Your yoke heavy. That's in here. 1 Kings 12, verse 14. But I will add to it, my father chastised you with whips, but I with scorpions. That's a repeat again, okay? Verse 15, that was really stupid. Young man, not wise, raised in a royal house, pampered, really thought he was something. Verse 15, you can reference 1 Kings 11, verses 30 through 37, and 1 Kings 12, verse 15. So the king listened not unto the people, for the cause was of Elohim, that Yahweh might perform his word, which he spoke by the hand of Ahijah the Shiloni to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Verse 16. You can reference 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1, and 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. And when all Israel saw that the king would not listen to them, the people returned answer, actually, to the king, saying, what portion have we in Dawid? And no inheritance in the son of Yishai. That's Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now, Dawid, see to your own house. And Dawid was directed at the son of Shlomo, a descendant of Dawid. So all Israel went to their tents. They all just took their ball and went home. Verse 17, but the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Yehuda, Rehoboam reigned over them. He was king. If they were in the cities of Yehuda, he was their king. Verse 18. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, that was over the forced labor, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. In other words, he was sent to bring him in to forced labor, and they stoned him. But King Rehoboam made haste to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. He was going to get stoned too. You can reference 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 18. Verse 19, and Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Now that's when this was written, okay? The tribes, they broke apart. They broke apart. There was no more united Israel. They separated the northern tribes and Yehuda and Benjamin. 10 tribes rebelled. 2 tribes remained, the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Yehuda. Now we will be taking up with chapter 11 on Wednesday the 29th. And it's going to be about civil war being averted. They didn't have they didn't have all what they needed. He was going to gather a bunch of men and fight and try to bring the northern tribes back in. But the word of Yahweh came and said, no, you should not try that. I won't bless it. Nope, 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 nope. They're gone. Deal with it. So we'll get into that when we get into chapter 11 here. On Wednesday. First of December is coming up, but we'll be getting into 2 Chronicles deeper and deeper and deeper. This is a longer book than 1 Chronicles. There are 36 chapters, so it's going to take us a while because there's a lot of information, a lot of fighting, and a lot of this and that. It's going to be an interesting ride here for a while. We'll do 11, 12, and 13 on Wednesday. And a lot of rebellion, a lot of punishment, sinning, retribution for the sinning. Oh, it's going to be these are the words of the days, and boy does it all of this is covered in several books in scriptures, and there's a different take with each book. They're not clones. They're similar, but not exact. You'll get a little more information in one book and a little different information in another book. They're not, the books aren't absolutely identical. So that's the reason to have all these books in here. They're not all the same. so they've grouped them all in different areas to make sure that everybody gets all the information that's contained therein. Now, that's a good thing. And it reinforces a lot of what went on. It gives you a different perspective depending on the writer. There were different writers for each of these books. So, the viewpoint of each writer is different. Some included some things, some skipped a few things. Some books have more information, some have less. But the notes that I have made sort of tie all these books in. I have put all these notes in here, telling you where to reference, you know. And it gives a more comprehensive coverage than just sort of reading all this dry information. A lot of it is pretty dry. I admit that. And begotten and this and that and all this stuff. But these books that I'm into right now are action books. They're rather fast-paced. And sometimes they gloss over things that other books go into detail in. But I will let you know where to reference in chapter 10, verse 16, for example. What portion have we with Dawid? Okay. That was used by Sheba in his rebellion against Dawid. And that's 2 Samuel 20, verse 1. And the people used it here against Rehoboam to emphasize that they did not have to follow someone of David's lineage. In other words, if you're going to be mean to us and you're not going to be treating us with honor and respect as one Israelite treats another, just because you're of Dawid's lineage doesn't mean that you're a good king and we're not going to follow you. So there. And he succeeded in breaking up Israel. And it would never again be the power that it once was. And it went downhill because you're gonna see that they're going to have two different kings, one of Israel, one of Yehuda and Benjamin. Some of them have the same name. Now, that drives you nuts. You don't know who they're talking about unless you really make note of that. And they're going to do a lot of stupid stuff as Israel slides downhill, both Israel and Yehuda and Benjamin. Both of them are going downhill. So, we're going on this wild ride through the rest of Chronicles. If you want to hear any of my former shows, I was away for a while and didn't have a lot of new stuff when I was in the hospital. But if you want to catch up or hear any of the older broadcasts, you can go to HTTPS, it's a secure site, ://, www.pastor-steve.com. Okay? My site is user-friendly. It is not interactive. You can't leave comments. There's no trolls. It's a study site. You can download stuff or listen to it right there. If you don't have a lot of capacity in your computer, some of them don't, you go right to the site and listen right there and study. And you can back it up or fast forward it just like you would any other file. And my wake up call shows are there and my word for word shows are there. So at this time, I have sort of run out of time. And I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. I need to leave a 3-minute break. Bye for now.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.